Geek Radio Daily for not Monday. It certainly is not. And, you know, that's got to bring a little bit of sunshine to your life, but we'll see how that goes. Hi there. We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Welcome to the 13th of November, being brought to you by all kinds of crazy people. Well, the gentleman who's trying to, overlook a certain thing that happened over the weekend. That there is podcasting's Rick Siegfried.
I can't wait to never speak of this as soon as possible.
And I understand exactly what you mean. There's a saying where I'm from. It goes a little something. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
A wolf remains a wolf, even if it has not eaten your sheep.
But it just becomes a hungry wolf then. Hungry like the wolf, even. The real big fish version kicks some ass. What happened on this fine, fantastical day in history there, sir?
Well, in 1907, French inventor Paul Cornu flies the first helicopter. The flight carries the vehicle roughly 1 foot off the ground and only lasts 20 seconds, but it is nonetheless to be marked as the first flight of the first helicopter.
1928, Vladimir Zorykin is granted a patent for a color television imaging tube that employs cathode ray tubes and a screen composed of a mosaic of squares in three primary colors. Later biographers will call him the true inventor of television. Philo Farnsworth frowned.
1952, Harvard's Paul Zoll becomes the first to use an electric shock to treat cardiac arrest.
1955, the first live U.S. television program originating from outside the continental United States is broadcast from Havana, Cuba.
Ooh, 1957, Gordon Gould, a doctoral research student in Columbia University and a former member of the Manhattan Project, completes the design of a light-emitting version of the microwave-emitting maser, which he names light amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation, a.k.a. the laser.
Oh, I didn't realize they were microwaves. 1971, the American space probe Mariner 9 becomes the first space probe to orbit another planet when it enters the orbit around Mars. Its mission is to return photographs that will map 70% of the surface while conducting a study of the planet's atmosphere and to find Matt Damon.
1974, Atari releases Touch Me to arcades. In 1977, the game will inspire the Simon handheld game. The game features four colored buttons, which players must select in a sequence identical to the one shown to them.
And inspired a song by Samantha Fox. 1979, Robert Jarvik is granted a patent for an artificial heart.
1982, the Viking 1 Mars lander ceases communications.
1989, someone using the name Dave Rhodes uploads the Make Money Fast Pyramid Scheme letter to Usenet for the first time. It's an electronic chain letter that will become so infamous that Make Money Fast will become synonymous with the word scam. Not certain if Dave Rhodes is a real person, but folks claim that he was a student at Columbia Union College.
1990, the world's first web page is created and published online by Tim Berners-Lee. The page contains Berners-Lee's notes, specifications for HTML, HTTP, and URI, along with other information related to the World Wide Web project.
1992, Sony Pictures Entertainment releases the horror film Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, starring Gary Oldman, Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder in a very convincing British accent, almost as convincing as Keanu Reeves, Sadie Frost, Richard E. Grant, and Anthony Hopkins. Carrie Elwes is in there, too.
Bleh. 1998, the discovery of the 1,000th pulsar in our galaxy is announced by the Jodrell Bank Observatory at the University of Manchester. The pulsar was discovered using the 64-meter Park Radio Telescope in New South Wales, Australia.
And most of us missed that because that same day, same year, the theatrical trailer for Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace premieres with the film Meet Joe Black, starring Brad Pitt, Anthony Hopkins, and Claire Forlani. And many of us, myself included, paid full admission to see Meet Joe Black. And, well, we didn't leave after the trailer. We stayed for the movie, which wasn't bad. Wasn't great.
Yeah, kind of like the movie. 2003, genomics pioneer Craig Venter announces that his research group has successfully created an artificial virus by creating a synthetic genome and implanting it into a cell. The project is funded by the Department of Energy, which hopes to create microbes that could convert carbon dioxide to hydrogen.
2006, Google completes the acquisition of YouTube for $1.65 billion in stock about a year after YouTube's official launch. GooTube, remember? We were saying, oh my God, they're going to change it to GooTube.
That's a terrible name for that, although Price X Hamster didn't take it. 2007, Microsoft releases the Zune 80 portable media player.
Still works great. And also, the New York Times shifts from online pay content to ad-supported content. Good move.
2008, in the journal Science, a team of astronomers from the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory published the first photographs of a planet outside the solar system, aka an exoplanet, to be captured in the visual spectrum using direct imaging.
My new Samsung has that. 2009, NASA announces it has discovered a significant amount of frozen water found on the moon, which is why the whalers go there. Birthdays?
Michael Copon, 36 years old, from Scorpion King 2, Power Rangers, Time Force, and that's so Raven.
Gerard Butler is 49, from Dracula 2000, 300,
How to Train Your Dragon, Movie 43, Gods of Egypt, and Geostorm.
I was a huge fan of Dracula 2300. Steve Zahn, 51 years old, from Crimson Tide, That Thing You Do, Sahara, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Look, he's basically Sean William Scott, but can act better, is even funnier, and has in everything you've ever seen. And I like Sean William Scott.
Neil Flynn is 58 years of age, from Scrubs, The Middle, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That was allegedly an Indiana Jones movie.
So disappointed they didn't continue on more with that storyline that he was in. Whoopi Goldberg, 63 years old, from Jumping Jack Flash, Ghost, Star Trek The Next Generation, Lion King, Toy Story 3, is now a talking head, I think.
Frances Conroy is 65, from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Catwoman, Avatar, All-Star Superman, 6 Feet Under, and American Horror Story.
Yeah, she's been in so many things. Joe Mantegna, 71 years old, from Three Amigos, Godfather 3, Airheads, Fat Tony on The Simpsons, Criminal Minds. Man, he has been in so much stuff, and I believe he even has a restaurant.
No longer with us, born in 1715, Dorothea Exelben, German's first female medical doctor.
1850, Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Treasure Island and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, among others.
1906, Hermione Baddeley, from Mary Poppins, The Aristocats, and The Secret of Nim.
1920, Jack Elam, from Support Your Local Sheriff and Gunfighter, Cannonball Run, Struck by Lightning. He's one of those cats. I was in so many things.
1932, Richard Mulligan, from Soap, Trail of the Pink Panther, Meatballs 2, and Empty Nest.
I liked that show. On television on CBS, we've got a new NCIS, FBI, and NCIS. Nope.
Nope. ABC, new The Conners, The Kids Are All Right, Blackish, Splitting Up Together, and Nathan Fillion is The Rookie.
NBC has a new The Voice. This is Us, a connection with a patient leads Bloom to consider his personal life, or her personal life, of course, on a new Amsterdam.
It's too early to be in signing roles. On Fox, it's new The Gifted. Then Murtaugh seeks assistance from Stifler's former mentor, Oz, or was it Finch, during a high-case risk cartel case on Lethal Weapon.
CW, Nora mistakenly reveals some information concerning the future that devastates Iris on a new The Flash and a new Black Lightning.
Freeform, Despicable Me.
AMC, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, the movie. Okay, right, that happened. Bravo, Adrian struggles to meet all the different preferences while preparing food on a new Below Deck.
FX has Wolf of Wall Street, and since it's on regular television, I'm assuming it's 17 minutes long.
Pretty much. FXX and The Simpsons, you got Apocalypse Cow, Any Given Sundance, and Sex Pies and Idiot Scrapes.
Apocalypse Cow. Apocalypse Wow. FX has X-Men Oranges. Oranges? Wolverine.
That would be a much better film. ISC, 40-Year-Old Virgin is on.
Paramount Network has X-Men
Origins. No!
And a new Ink Master.
Why is everyone showing? Sundance is showing the drama you've always wanted. Heartbreak Ridge followed by Open Range.
Sure. Sci-Fi has Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Turner Classic Movies, A Streetcar Named Desire. Stella!
CBS has Two Steps Forward, One Step Back on The Guest Book.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because when a father dies of a mysterious heart attack, two siblings return home to their estate that's spread out in New Orleans, where they discover their unhinged stepmother will do whatever it takes in order to get the entire estate. Dave Davis, Logan Huffman, and Christy Swanson star in Bad Stepmother.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Gabby pleads with Stefan to keep her secret. I mean, I could put on a wig and pretend to be your Gabby. Paul is tempted to read Will's journal. He knows that would be bad, so he gets the audiobook. Sierra confronts Claire about her lies, and Sierra's like, Wyatt, I have no idea what you mean. Teehee. Chad makes a bold move. Abby, it is time for Happy Dale. Charge! Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
If you don't mind, that is. Hi, geeks. Where were my manners? Sorry, just now getting around to letting you know that I'm only listening to podcasts at work in whatever order Dog Catcher serves them up. This week is the 12th annual charity marathon for Child's Play Desert Bus for Hope, because Chucky needs help. In Victoria, British Columbia, veteran comedy improv group Loading Ready Run, LRR, is doing all they can to inspire donations for Child's Play, which was started by the creators of the Penny Arcade webcomic, sends game systems and games to children's charity facilities around the world. LRR plays the most boring computer game ever designed, which you may know, Penn & Teller's Desert Bus. In real time, a player drives a bus that pulls slightly to one side, keeping it on a perfectly straight, narrow, featureless road is difficult. You're driving from Tucson, Arizona to Las Vegas, Nevada. Did I mention in real time, if you run off the road, you have to wait in real time for a tow truck? LRR members joke, sing, dance, and anything else to keep things interesting, and creative fans send in craft items and raffle them off for auction, raising thousands of US dollars each. There is a link. It's desertbus.org. Their link is in the show notes as well. And I'll be back next week. That is from Bill. Well, thank you, Bill. And kudos to anyone that plays that game more than once, because, wow, it is so awful. But the entire Penn & Teller's Cruel Tricks for Dear Friends for the Sega CD, well worth your time and trouble. Let us know how much you enjoyed it by sending us a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or you can record yourself playing it, and maybe we'll make that a special episode if you send it to the voicemail number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And by the way, so far, they are supposedly going for 145 hours. For the Desert Bus for Hope. And as of the recording of this episode, they have already raised $278,263.80. Way to go, Loading Ready Ryan. I've loved you for a long time. You guys do this every year. It's fantastic. It's good. Go and check them out.
Keep crushing the geeks.
There. After 5 long years, my latest invention is complete. Surely it will revolutionize personal transportation for decades to come. Hey, who let you in here? Get away from there. You stupid simian sociopath! Don't touch that! Monkeys took my jetpack!
Monkeys took my jetpack at mtmjetpack.com.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
I really enjoyed her back then. Really did. Immensely. Back then.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, that's not entirely true. You watch movies and TV shows. Technicalities get them right. What can we put on the shelf today, sir?
Well, we've got Hidden Volume 1 in our TV aisle.
I didn't know they made a series out of that wonderful Comic Lachlan film. Killjoys Season 2.
Magicians Season 2.
The Expanse Season 2.
Elementary. Six.
Preacher Season 3, huh? Hitler and Arseface out there yucking it up.
Yeah, I gotta catch back up on that. And Star Trek Discovery Season 1.
I didn't realize we're actually gonna put those on DVD. Must be anime based on title alone. Gatchaman Crowds, the complete collection.
Real Life Final Arc.
From our re-release department, Bates Motel, all seasons.
Scorpion, the complete series. Of course, we all know that is the smartest show on television.
BSG Blood and Chrome gets another go-around.
Yeah, the Satanic Rites of Dracula.
Radar Men from the Moon.
Beep, 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 beep. We also have Cowboy Bebop, the movie.
And how could you not want that? From our movies department, we've got Final Score. 0 to 1, I don't know.
Alpha.
Jim Gaffigan, Noble Ape. Make your own jokes there.
He's such a good stand-up. We've also got
Detective D, The Four Heavenly Kings.
We've also got Cargo, which is the sequel or prequel to Congo. I'm not sure.
A little bit of both, actually. It's a prequel sequel. No one's ever done that before. We also have The Meg, which is based off the much, 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 much better book. Decent giant shark movie. Horrible adaptation of the book.
I believe it's short for The Megathy. We also have The Marine 6 Close Quarters, because somebody keeps giving the WWE money to make movies. Yeah.
But we're going to get the story of a crazed female scientist who uses nerve gas to turn local teenagers into her unquestioning slaves. Which doesn't sound half bad. Don Sullivan and Catherine Victor star in Teenage Zombies.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Today's rumor that we waited till today to see if there was any more info on, and there isn't, is that Crazy Rich Asians and Super Cop Michelle Yeoh is in talks to reprise her Star Trek Discovery role of Philippa Georgiou in an upcoming spinoff series based around her character in the works of CBS All Access.
Man, I remember the days when you had to have at least like 100 episodes and 17 awards before you got a spinoff.
There's so much time to fill now. In the early planning stages, this spinoff will likely focus on the continuation of her adventures in the upcoming second season of the series, where she's now working for Section 31, the secret autonomous organization that is part of a Federation charter.
It took 43 years to get us Torchwood, you know.
True. An offshoot of Starfleet Intelligence, Section 31 operates without oversight. They carry out covert ops for the Federation. They were in Deep Space Nine and Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes, I've been waiting for a dark side of Starfleet, like Warehouse 13 style show. Yeah.
Yao appeared in the pilot of Star Trek Discovery's Captain Philippa Georgiou, captain of the USS Shenzhou, who served as the mentor of the show's lead character, Michael Burnham, played by Sonequa Martin Green. She died early on, leading to Burnham joining the USS Discovery, but...
Spoilers!
Yo returned to the role as the Mirror Universe version of her character, who served as the Emperor of the Terran Empire.
Did she have a goatee?
Yeah, but you couldn't see it. At the end of the first season, Yo's character was trapped in our universe and had assumed her dead counterpart's identity, ultimately helping Starfleet with a key mission. She's then recruited by Section 31 in the final moments of the first season finale.
Oh, I bet her and RoboCop got along great.
If the Yo-led show goes forward, it would join Discovery, the untitled John Luke Puckard, and half-hour animated Star Trek Below Decks, all on the service. The second season of Discovery, January 17th, on CBS All Access in the U.S., and on Netflix worldwide, which is not the U.S.
Well, aren't they a little scared that they're moving too fast with the Trek expansion?
There's a saying, scared Kelpian makes for tough Kelpian.
Word. You know the only problem with being into retro gaming?
The cost of all the really good cartridges?
Well, that, and the fact that everything is retro after a certain period of time. Because of that, you soon won't be able to watch whatever Marvel series are left on your Nintendo Wii. Netflix emailed users saying that Nintendo will be shutting down all video streaming services for the console after January 31st, 2019. Netflix's notification indicated that Nintendo will suspend all streaming services for the device, and that presumably means that Amazon Prime and Hulu also won't be able to be used on the console. It makes a bit of sense, given the age of the device. The Wii, after all, was sold between 2005 and 2011, before streaming video really took off with consumers, and before services like Hulu and Amazon Prime were even launched.
First we lose the Miiverse, and now this?
Well, the closure comes in conjunction with Nintendo's announcement that it would be closing down the Wii Shop channel, its portal to download virtual console games, on January 30th, 2019. While the Nintendo Switch didn't ship with any streaming apps when it launched last year, Hulu arrived late last year and was followed last week by YouTube. Hopefully Netflix won't be too far behind.
But the U still streams, right?
The Wii U?
Yeah, the U.
Damn it, it's been 13 years. Say the damn name. That's a classic joke, kids.
You're cool, right?
Well, my mom says so.
You have friends, mostly online, and that means you are probably sad.
Look, just because I listen to the Smiths doesn't mean I am sad. I look at yours, you laugh at mine, and love is just a miserable lie.
For the first time, University of Pennsylvania research based on experimental data connects Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram use to decreased well-being. Psychologist Melissa G. Hunt published her findings in the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology.
I was looking for a job, and then I found a job. And heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Few prior studies have attempted to show that social media use harms users' well-beings, and those that have either put participants in unrealistic situations or were limited in scope, asking them to completely forego Facebook, relying on self-report data, for example, or conducting the work in a lab in as little time as an hour.
Angry face emoji!
143 participants completed a survey to determine mood and well-being at the study's start, plus shared shots of their iPhone battery screens, oh, just iPhones, whatever, to offer a week's worth of baseline social media data. Participants were then randomly assigned to a control group, which had users maintain their typical social media behavior, or an experimental group that limited time on Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram to 10 minutes per platform per day. With that data in hand, Hunt then looked at 7 outcome measures, including fear of missing out, anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Hunt stresses that the findings do not suggest that 18 to 22-year-olds should stop using social media altogether. In fact, she built the study, as she did, to stay away from what she considers an unrealistic goal. The work does, however, speak to the idea that limiting screen time on these apps couldn't hurt.
But how will that guy I never met in Tucson understand his wrong?
Because this particular work only looked at Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, it's not clear whether it applies broadly to other social media platforms. Hunt also hesitates to say these findings would replicate for other age groups or in different settings. Those are questions she still hopes to answer, including an upcoming study about the use of dating apps by college students.
Everyone on Twitch are just well adjusted. Like me.
The study didn't determine the optimal time users should spend on these platforms or the best way to use them. Hunt says the findings do offer 2 related conclusions it couldn't hurt any social media user to follow. For one, reduce opportunities for social comparison. And secondly, because these tools are here to stay, it's vital for society to figure out how to use them in a way that limits damaging effects. In general, put your phone down and be with the people in your life. But be warned, science says that you will get sucked into Facebook.
You don't get sucked into it! You don't get sucked in at all!
Douglas Rain, a Shakespeare actor who provided the eerie and rather calm homicidal voice of the HAL 9000 in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, has died at the age of 90. The Canadian actor died Sunday morning, according to the Stratford Festival, where Rain spent 32 years acting in such roles as Othello's Iago and Twelfth Night's Malvolio. He was also a founding member of the company. He was also a founding member of the company. The Winnipeg-born actor had dozens of theater, film, and television credits. However, Rain's biggest mark on pop culture was 2001's HAL 9000, a sentient roguelike computer in a film written in collaboration with the science fiction author Roguelike Computer in a film written in collaboration with science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke and widely regarded as Kubrick's masterpiece. The American Film Institute ranked HAL as the 13th greatest movie villain of all time. Kubrick was reportedly inspired to cast Rain after viewing Universe, a 1964 animated documentary narrated by the actor. At first, HAL, self-described as foolproof and incapable of error, is a sturdy member of an astronaut crew headed for Jupiter, keeping spaceship functions running smoothly and maintaining friendly, if unemotional, relationships with its crewmates. While HAL seemingly makes an error, it leads Poole and Bowman to decide to shut the computer down. But HAL goes into self-preservation mode, leading to the deaths of all the crew except Bowman, who ultimately manages to deactivate HAL. Rain's steady monotone making the events all the more unnerving.
I know I've made some very poor decisions recently, but I can give you my complete assurance that my work will be back to normal.
Before Alexa, before Siri, HAL set the standard for the computer you cannot trust. Who can read lips? How effing scary is that? You can't even hide what you're trying to... When HAL is finally shut down, the computer famously sings Daisy Bell as Rain's sonorous voice gradually fades away. Douglas shared many of the same qualities as Kubrick's iconic creation: precision, strength of steel, enigma, and infinite intelligence, as well as a wicked sense of humor. Antonio Cimolino, artistic director of the Stapford Festival, told the London Free Press, "He will be greatly missed. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. Thank you for putting yourself to the fullest possible use, which is all that any conscious entity can ever hope to do."
And the one you've been waiting for us to talk about, a moment we knew was going to happen at some point, but we thought we had like another 30 years. We are lowering all geek flags to half staff because we are saddened to hear of the passing of Stan Lee. Lee began in the business in 1939. Created or co-created Black Panther, Spider-Man, the X-Men, the Mighty Thor, Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Incredible Hulk, Daredevil, Ant-Man, countless other characters, died early Monday morning at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Lee's final few years were tumultuous after Jonah's ex-wife of 69 years died in July of 2017. He sued executives over at POW Entertainment, a company he founded in 2001 to develop film, TV, and video game projects, for $1 billion, alleging fraud, then abruptly dropped the suit weeks later, sued his ex-business managers, filed a restraining order against the man who had been handling his affairs, and in June of 2018, it was revealed the Los Angeles Police Department had been investigating reports of elder abuse against him. On his own and through work with frequent artist and writer collaborators Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, who died in July, and others, Lee catapulted Marvel from a tiny venture into the world's number one publisher of comic books and later a multimedia giant. Lee's fame and influence as the face and figurehead of Marvel, even in his nonagenarian years, remained considerable. Stan originally shortened his given name Stanley Lieber because of the stigma of comics. "I used to think that what I did was not very important," he told the Chicago Tribune in April of 2014. "People are building bridges and engaging in medical research, and here I was doing stories about fictional people who do extraordinary things and wear costumes. But I suppose I've come to realize that entertainment is not easily dismissed." His stories taught me that even superheroes like Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk have ego deficiencies and girl problems and do not live in their macho fantasies 24 hours a day, Gene Simmons of Kiss said in a 1979 interview. Because, of course, Stan Lee also invented Kiss. I don't know if you knew that. "Through the honesty of guys like Spider-Man, I learned about the shades of gray in human nature. He created not only our childhoods, now our grandchildren's childhoods. If the opportunity arises today, lift a drink and toast and say, Excelsior! And Stan, look for our good buddy PG. He is waiting with a big damn bottle just for you, okay?"
I guess one person can make a difference. Enough said.
Enough said indeed. Thank you, sir. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Damn, I was hoping we would never have to do that story.
I know, man. What's going to be tough is the first time we walk out of the movie theater and we realize something was missing from that Marvel movie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, rumor has it they went ahead and filmed some more just because they... Oh, God. Hey, drop us a note. Tell us, you know, what Stan meant to you, what HAL 9000 meant to you, and why there was never a crossover between those two. Drop a note to the podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send the voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
And we will get back together at another time.
Peace out, player.
Piss off.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Hey, look at that couple.
Boy, they sure seem to be in love, huh?
You know, what's with that? That's the second time you've commented on couples in love.
Well, I like that sort of thing. Tell me, do you have a girlfriend, Brody?
Had one. We just broke up. The thing. Is this dork made of orange rock like the rest of his body?
It's a superhero secret. Tell me, Brody, why did you and your girlfriend break up?
She was a pain in the ass. She wanted me to be this typical boyfriend guy. Said I was too into my own world, comics and all.
Yeah, I can relate. There was a time when it was all about comics for me, you know? I had a girl probably the same as yours. She always complained that I spent too much time with my own comics. And eventually we broke up.
See, what did she know? Here you are now, a legend in the field. Probably had a slew of women since her, am I right?
Oh, lots of women. Jagger and me, we had a running contest to see who had the most. Matter of fact, last time I looked, I was way ahead.